If you have been looking at some of your local obituaries, you have been seeing a lot of interesting stories. Not so much interesting in terms of who passed, unless you happen to know them, and hopefully that isn't the case, but how they describe the person's passing. We'll talk about that in just a minute. Hello, Erica. How are you?
Hi, Jeff. I'm good. How are you tonight?
I'm kind of fried.
That's understandable.
It was hot today, and I mean, this, the load that the two of us carry, and some of you out there are probably similarly engaged in this whole process, you know, this is tough. This is like a terrible science fiction novel that is real, and we're trapped in it. And the number of people dying is clearly increasing exponentially. It's a cascade. And when they write up an obituary, if they bother to write up an obituary, we were talking about this earlier today or whenever, we don't think people are putting obituaries in the paper anymore like they used to. For whatever reason.
No.
Maybe they're ashamed or whatever. But there aren't as many, and the cause of death, they used to list it, usually, fairly directly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, what we're getting here, we put a little list together for you. Died suddenly, passed away unexpectedly, died after a fall. There are a lot of people falling down now. Passed away during sleep, passed away at home, died after a short illness. Died at home. Died after a short battle with early onset dementia. Or died from any other disease you might want to name. That's just a few. There are many more. But they're not saying, speaking, or writing the truth. That 80 to 85% of Americans have apparently been shot up, and they're mostly now well beyond a year from that first shot, and many have gotten, what would you say the average would be? How many shots?
At least two. I'm astounded. I personally know at least three people right now who have gotten four.
They brag about the number of shots. They brag about their boosters. They're proud of it. And, you know, God bless them all. They don't have a clue about what's been done to them. And the information is out there. I'm not saying we're everywhere with our information. And you people can only talk to so many. But you go online, and this is a big controversy. You can't completely ignore it. But they are bragging about booster braggadocio is one of the funniest things yet. Black humor funny. Incredible.
And then you have the opposite, where they're chiding or wishing ill on people who have not gotten vax. I mean, you know.
Oh, they hate us. 15% of America.
Yeah.
We are, honestly, she's right. We are the target, and many of you are included in hate. Target of hate. They hate. They blame us. They don't know who to blame, so they're going to blame us for their decision to get this death shot, which was never intended to be a vaccine, never designed to be a vaccine, never tested truly to be a vaccine, and deployed as what it really is, a killing and death machine of horrific dimension. And it's not slowing down. It's only speeding up.
No, I'm starting to see more and more ill effects manifesting in people now that have taken this thing. And they're, surprisingly, I don't think they're connecting the dots, because it's far enough out. You know, they went into this believing the vaccine, so-called vaccine, was safe and effective. So they don't have a logical explanation for why they're feeling the way they do. They just chalk it up to something else.
Well, the big tragedy is that they actually still trust the government And the medical establishment.
Yep.
Oh, my. Oh, my. How bad does it get? And how many times have we told everyone who will listen that this bioweapon has not just one, two, or three ways to bring about death, but more all the time? And it's not just the bioweapon, it's the configuration of what is allegedly in the vials that you have to pay attention to. Now, in the beginning, one of the first big boogeymen was graphene oxide. And then that went away, as you'll know. It just wasn't talked about. It went away. People were looking in the vials and saying, there isn't any. Well, graphene oxide is back. But what's worse is that, will you tell them, what does graphene oxide apparently do?
Well, it can cause the misfolding of your body's own proteins.
Wait, what?
So,
what? You mean like the spike protein causes proteins to misfold? Graphene oxide could do the same thing?
Yes, it could. And computer modeling has shown that that is quite possible. Now, why is this significant? Well, the latest news on coming from those who are taking the time and going to the expense of trying to figure out what's in these vials, two people independent of each other, Kevin McCarron, who's operating out of Japan, he's a neuroscientist, and a practicing or physician up in Alberta, Canada, Dr. Daniel Nagase, both analyzed vials of Pfizer and Moderna, independent of each other, unbeknownst to each other at the time, and came up with the same results. There's no mRNA.
Yes.
Yeah, no mRNA in any of the samples that they analyzed.
We don't know how many samples they had. We don't know where they got them. We just report what we know, and that's that they claim there's no mRNA in the samples.
Now, that's... Okay. You know, interesting that they both came up with the same result around the same time, but working independently of each other and arriving at the same conclusion, which begs the question, you know, is it intentional or is it just shoddy manufacturing?
Bad quality control.
I don't know, but what... Dr. Daniel Nagase reported was he believes, it's not conclusive, but there was a very heavy signature for carbon and oxygen. And there was no nitrogen and no phosphorus, which you need both nitrogen and phosphorus if there's going to be any protein or mRNA or RNA, nucleic acids. You would have to have those two elements present. They're not present. Lipids are present. And a very, very strong carbon-oxygen signature with strange-looking, at least under the microscope, the scanning electron microscope that he had access to, odd shapes, very, very odd shapes. Again, what's it doing in the vaccine? But regardless, if it is graphene oxide, and if we go back to La Quinta Columna, that, you know, a year ago, they were the first to announce this and actually do a chemical or elemental analysis of these vials, they said that it was mostly graphene oxide, and they did detect trace amounts of mRNA or RNA, but most of it was graphene oxide. So we've come full circle again.
La Quinta Columna is a Spanish laboratory, research lab, independent, allegedly independent. They've done some interesting work.
Yeah, it was Dr. Pablo Compra that published, did the analysis and published their results. And it was quite convincing. You know, he invited other people to confirm those findings. They've gone quiet.
Yeah.
They haven't published anything since, well, at least Orwell City, that was their online venue. Mm-hmm. They've gone quiet since March of this year, and I don't know what's happened to them.
Somebody had enough of their truth, maybe, and talked to them. Don't know.
It could be.
All right, so here we are. We know damn well that the spike protein will destroy your immune system. We know damn well that the spike protein has seven locations on it. Once it has been cleaved or unfolded, just bear with me, unfolded, seven locations by which any of your body's countless trillions of proteins come by, and one of those seven locations will cause that protein to misfold and begin as it moves away from the spike protein on its way through your circulatory system. It will cause any other protein, apparently, in your body to misfold as well. When you have two, three, four misfolded proteins, they begin to stick together, and they form a little tiny thread called a fibril. And those fibrils are self-aggregating with other fibrils, self-assembling in terms of creating a larger fibril yet, called a clot, an amyloid clot. These are not blood clots. It's not to say there aren't blood clots. There are some blood clots, but it's beginning to look like most are amyloid clots. That's why they don't react to blood thinners. And even if you only take a half an aspirin a day or a baby aspirin a day, that'll help with blood clots. But it won't help with amyloid clots as far as we know at this point. Now, when you add to the spike what it does to your body's proteins, the fact that if, and we have a paper on this, which Erica will talk about in a moment, four-year-old paper, if graphene oxide can also cause proteins to misfold and begin the chain reaction, which can lead to potentially Alzheimer's, pericarditis, myocarditis, anything that involves plaque or clotting of an amyloid nature. If that is true, we now have a 1-2 knockout punch for life as we knew it in the body. These protein misfolding machines, if graphene has joined the spike, oh my God. Tell us about the paper.
Well, this was a paper. Again, it was a computer model where they looked at, because graphene is being looked at for many, many applications in biomedicine. Because it's carbon. It is an allotrope of carbon, and carbon tends to be very biocompatible. I mean, we are 18% carbon. Our structure is 18% carbon. So it's germane to biological organisms. So we can, if we can figure out how to use it correctly, we can use it for scaffolding or, let's
please
say, biosensors.
Please define scaffolding, if you would. Tell us.
It's a seed to form, you know, structure. You could, it could be a nucleation site for growing new tissue.
Mm-hmm.
So,
scabbing.
But it has a wide range of uses for mm-hmm. biomedical applications. The question is, what is it doing in these vials? Now, there's some evidence that it can be useful as an adjuvant. It can be useful as a carrier to get the cells to uptake the mRNA more than it normally would without it. But the concerning thing is that, yes, it's been looked at extensively as, well, in the case of quantum dots, graphene quantum dots, which can be biosensors or transmitter receiver type molecules. It's a catalyst for chemical reactions. What's it doing? What's it doing there? And the other concerning thing is that it does resonate in the same frequencies of the lower end of 5G. Now, I mean, we talked about this extensively last year after La Quinta Columna had come out with their findings.
Yes, we
did. Are people being cooked? You know, when they have this in their system and they encounter some of these frequencies? But
I would like
itself,
to see. Go ahead.
There's evidence based on computer modeling that the graphene, when it's in the presence of these proteins in the body, can cause them to misfold.
Well, how about a cocktail of graphene and mRNA and spike, of course,
yeah,
included?
And that might explain why some batches are quite a bit more toxic than others. It seems like they're playing around with the ingredients at the very least. And the interesting thing was, I had heard this, but it just didn't click when I heard it a couple weeks ago. Senator Ron Johnson was approached by this Dr. Daniel Nagase about, I guess, subpoena. You know, we need to know what's in these vials. We have a right to know. I mean, this stuff is being injected into millions, billions of people. We need to know what's in them. And his response was that, no, they're not obligated to tell you what's in them because they're proprietary.
Ah, Ron Johnson, a protector of the people, a protector of the Constitution.
So we're supposed to take these things on blind faith.
Well, 4 billion have.
Yeah, I know it.
No informed consent. Total blind acceptance of what's they're being told. You got to take this. Look, if graphene oxide is back in the vials, and I would say we honestly can't do legitimate testing with 3 or 4 vials. I don't know how many. There must be 500 vials out of different batches to be tested.
Yeah.
Okay, to do an honest evaluation. We don't really know. What we're presenting to you here are the claims of two people. And if graphene oxide is back in the vials, maybe it never left. Maybe some of the people who said it wasn't there were incorrect or got a case or a few pieces out of a case that didn't have any. Is quality control that bad? Where are these vials made? Are they made overseas in third world countries in laboratories? Are they made in Ukraine at some of the 45 laboratories that the U.S., DOD, and Pentagram are firmly involved with creating and funding? We don't know where they're all made, for sure. I don't trust Pfizer or Moderna at all, what they're saying.
And I think a number of these are well, maybe all of them, they subcontract the manufacturing out, the finish and fill or fill and finish.
It's almost always
part
the
of
case.
It. Yeah.
How the words don't even come to mind that fit. This is so far beyond unethical. This is a planned depopulation world genocide. You've got to understand that and stop calling them vaccines. They're anything but.
Yeah,
and when they were
there's
deployed,
no protection here.
They did none. Zero. And I don't know where this is going to go, but we do have a paper now. It's from Lanzhou University, how graphene causes the misfolding of human prion proteins. Now, a prion protein is a specific type of protein, but if it can affect a prion protein, it can probably affect a whole hell of a lot of other types. How many proteins are in the human body, approximately? Give me a wild guess.
Oh, probably 100,000 anyway.
Different
but there's
types.
Some that are more susceptible to misfolding that cause, greater consequences.
Sure. And how many did you project spike proteins would end up being produced with a legitimate injection of this bioweapon? Say you got a regular dose. How many spike proteins might be expected to be produced by your body as a result of this bioweapon injection?
Oh, it's in the trillions.
30 trillion.
Yeah, enough to saturate your body from head to toe.
Maybe forever, which
possibly
won't be very long for a lot of people.
No, this thing's really starting to manifest. You can see it, especially with the young people.
Well, we talked about deaths. Obituaries, the verbiage, the lack thereof. People are dying all the time. 3 pro athletes, an NBA star, 25 years of age, died suddenly today. 26-year-old Baltimore Ravens football player died unexpectedly today. And don't throw the word SADS around. Don't buy into that crap. They're dying from the vax. And then a 55-year-old Baltimore Ravens player who, when they won the Super Bowl, he was on that team, died unexpectedly. These people are just dying. They're just dying on the spot. They're just going to sleep and never waking up. And it's not necessarily peri or myo. It's clotting. It's amyloidosis from head to foot. And when you reach your saturation level of amyloidosis, you die. Some major organ shuts down and you die.
The heart and the brain, if they start accumulating these plaques, these amyloid deposits, you know, anything with a high degree of electrical conductivity like the heart or the brain, you know, that's problematic. You know, you could have instant death. And I think the ventricular arrhythmias are particularly deadly, and that's what they're finding in a lot of these athletes. And that's a hallmark of amyloidosis of the heart.
I didn't hear that before. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I got a story in headlines of over 1,000 athletes who have been either killed, maimed, severely compromised, they'll never play sports again, etc. It's up there. You'll see it. 1,000 athletes. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I believe I encountered at least two incidences over the past 2 days of young males. I don't know for sure if they've been vaxxed, but they were unusual situations where one was he was in a touristy area, and there was a commotion that began, and it turned out that this young kid, probably 18, 20 years old, suddenly lost his vision, couldn't see.
He went blind.
The crowd, well, yeah, and I think it was shocking to him. You know, he was in a panic, obviously, and a crowd had gathered, and people escorted him into a building for first aid. But I'm going to guess that he may have had the shot, and we know that these ocular strokes, and in some cases hemorrhages, can happen with COVID in the eye. And, of course, if it can happen with the viral illness, it can certainly happen with the vaccine.
Ocular cancers,
and then today,
too.
Oh, yeah, we talked about that. Yeah, ocular cancers. Yeah. You know, these little tiny blood vessels in the eyes, that, you know, they're very delicate. These are delicate organs.
So this one kid goes blind. What else happened that you are aware of? And these are things
we
find out about. Remember, we don't find out about 99.99999% of them. We don't hear about it.
No, these are just haphazard things you come across in the course of a day, and you just wouldn't see these types of things in years past. And today we had a drowning at one of the local quarries. Now, was this kid vax? I mean, he was 18, I believe, and just was a nice day swimming and went in and didn't come up. Now,
well,
yeah,
two of them jumped over. Two of them jumped off the edge into the water. One popped right back up. One was down for nearly an hour before they found him. He just didn't come up.
But you look at all the cases of myocarditis in these young males, you can't help but think, was that a factor?
Yeah.
So they managed to get him out. They managed to get his heart started again, but he died en route to the hospital.
Right. So the point is, we are not hearing about the bioweapon deaths like we should. Because that's not what we're supposed to hear, so we don't hear it. We're not told. We're not allowed, unless you see it. So keep in mind when people are dying, and I don't know anyone who doesn't know someone who's died under, let's say, suspicious circumstances, okay? But they have so many ways. When somebody has AIDS caused by the bioweapon, they can develop any kind of infection. Infectious process, and that could be listed as the cause of death. So these pharma companies have total plausible deniability. What nuts? You died of cancer. Etc., etc., endless etc. So it's pretty disgusting, all of it. Now there's something else. Go ahead.
Even the people that have had adverse reactions within days or maybe a week max of the injection are hesitant to attribute their reaction to the injection. I mean, sometimes they're not even considering it.
They won't do it.
And I think that's some indication that how out of touch people are with their own bodies.
Poor Tiffany Dover. Another one. Don't forget her. You don't forget all these people. Life is life, and I must say some people are not going to be missed because they're somewhat defective, shall we say, in terms of sociological norms, but whatever. There's a mass die-off, and it's a cascade, and it's building all the time, and it's going to become horrific. Creeper Joe today said that we need more money. There's going to be another pandemic. What did they tell the idiot? And he couldn't keep his mouth shut. What does he know? Probably something. We got two and a half years until we're supposed to end up with about 99 million people left in this country. That's it. Now remember, I'll repeat, who's not getting the shot? All the invaders whom the old Biden administration is allowing into the country. They're not getting shot up. Why is that? Think about it. They're supposed to survive. Third world garbage. This war, round one, is clearly targeting white, Western, Christian, Caucasians. Okay? It's a war on whites. Now, there's something else that we wanted to mention. What was it? Another little thing. Time's up. Sorry. Come back next week.
We have a trial for cytomegalovirus.
That's the one. Good girl. You win. You win. Sorry. Bring her back on stage. You won. All right. Good job. CMV.
Before we do that,
how many alleged vaccines, bioweapons, are being produced right now to treat SARS-CoV-2? What's the number now? How many trials are going to allegedly take place for yet more more bioweapons called vaccines for SARS-CoV-2?
I think we're up to 215 that are in the pipeline right now in various stages of development. Yes. Or I think it's 215.
215. I'll take it.
That's just for COVID.
Well, it's all true. It's all true. And there is another, Moderna is busily at work creating another mRNA vaccine for CMV, cytomegalovirus, okay? And probably other family members. What is CMV? Go ahead.
Well, CMV is in the herpes virus class. Usually it's not a problem if you have an intact immune system, and it's quite common. Most people, by the time they're middle-aged, have been exposed to it, and then, you know, the longer you're on the planet, the greater probability you're going to encounter it at some point. But it doesn't really cause a problem unless you're immune-suppressed. It can be a problem if an infant or newborn is exposed to it or acquires it while the mother's pregnant, in which case it can be a cause of hearing loss. But for the most part, you don't hear much about it because we've pretty much adapted to living with it. But Moderna has decided that these latent viruses that don't cause a problem needs a vaccine. And so right now they're recruiting for a clinical trial
Get this,
for this
get this,
thing.
Friends. Listen to this. This is very interesting.
Who may take part?
In the trial.
It must be.
Who may
yes,
take part
the
in the trial for the CMV vaccine, the new alleged
now, this
vaccine?
This is mRNA. Again, this is mRNA, and this one has, unlike this COVID one that has codes for one protein, supposedly, this one codes for six. Six different proteins that are a part of the cytomegalovirus itself. I mean, if we're having this many problems with a vaccine that codes for one protein, what,
let's
how
make
do you
one
think it's
for six.
Be for six?
Come on, and then let's restrict the trial participants to a certain group of females. No males.
Okay,
here's
the criteria. You must be a woman between the ages of 16 and 40 years. You must be in good health. And you must be in close contact with at least one child, 5 years of age or younger, for at least 8 hours a week, if you're age 20 or older.
Can you read into that, friends? Can you read? What did she just say? We guess here. We do guess. But it's pretty obvious that these are women of prime reproductive years, and they want these women to take these tests, the trial, and they must have 8 hours a week with a child under the age of five. Close physical contact. Close physical contact, as in horizontal transmission, as in shedding. Get it? I believe they're going to sterilize these women, and I believe they're going to kill the kids. Not with the trial necessarily, but with the final product. This is not. Why would they restrict something to such strange criteria? It's like the hepatitis B vaccine. They did that with the Hep B vaccine in 76. They restricted it to homosexual males who were promiscuous. And what does that tell you? That they want this stuff spread.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, it's crazy. All right.
Well,
there
are going to be, it is already, but will be much more. These types of trials, they've got the green light to start the clinical trials for this type of gene transfection technology. They're doing it with, you know, the synthetic mRNA and the lipid nanoparticles. They're doing it with the adenoviral vectors. They're doing it with the pox viral vectors. All these different GMO, genetically modified viruses, chimeric viruses, throughout the world now. So at any given time, there will be people participating in these types of trials and shedding mm-hmm. the study intervention into the environment for others to pick up. I mean, we know this stuff is transmissible.
We certainly do. We have been doing this for over a year and a half now. We are focused on the mission, and that is to help you to the best of our ability. We're not going off in strange places. There are a lot of programs out there now that are, boy, they are scary. They're putting out some real dumb stuff. And then some of them are beginning to catch up with what we've been telling you for months, which is gratifying. The truth can't be kept silent forever. So that's good. All right, we've got some things that we can read if you want.
People
again. Just to give you, once again, the human aspect of this, which is not being discussed by CNN, MSNBC, etc. They're not talking about it. Well, they'll mention, gee, three pro athletes died today unexpectedly. That's as far as we're going to get. They're not going to say anything about shots. So, okay. All right. Go ahead. I've got the list here, too. Take the first one.
All right. So this is a person who got the shots about a year ago, and she developed myocarditis, among other things, and she wanted to relay her saga. It has been a year. I've gone through a lot of stages. First, the research and desperate combing of the internet for clues, reasons, what to expect, what to do or not do, who to get help from, who to trust. That continues, but now I feel like I am an expert. I am living with this, after all, and while I felt a bit crazy going through all the symptoms, now I accept that somehow they are all related to my illness. I no longer am asking what I should be experiencing or feeling, and instead find comfort that I am not alone. This group really helps. And at first, it was just survival for me and my family. It was such a huge shock to have me disabled and have all our activities and plans thrown out the window. You start thinking it will be a few days, then weeks, then months, and then you realize this may be how it is. When that happened, I think we all shifted. I got to the point where I realized how devastating this has been for us, and after the grief passed, began to gently figure out where my limits are, what my family can do, redefine us as a family. Some people have no support and no life, myocarditis or not. I am grateful for my home and the flowers in my garden and the shade from the gazebo and the birds coming to the bird feeder. I have given up my car and kayak and lowered my expectations for a clean house or perfect garden and what my family can do to make up for what I can't do. I am different now, and my family are different. When I was on high-dose aspirin, we believe I had a couple of small strokes. I am now taking Tylenol instead, and it actually helps the pain more. But when I had one of those TIAs, I had a global transient amnesia. I suddenly found myself sitting in my chair with my husband and daughter concerned on their knees asking if I was okay. We now think several hours had passed while I was not aware of anything. But at that moment, I had no memory of so many things. Of COVID, of where we lived, even the town we live in. I knew them, but not the dog. I did not know two of my girls were married or that my mother-in-law and sister-in-law had died. I hear that it is not always like this. But for me, I was at once fully at peace and calm and detached from everything. I realized I was probably having a stroke and told them so. I had no anxiety at all. But I was very curious about the intense pain and tightness in my chest. They told me about the myocarditis. Even though I was a health professional, I could not find any references to myocarditis in my mind. But I asked what medications I was on. High-dose aspirin. And I asked about my medical support team or care plan. And
none.
You want to take it from there?
Sure. There's a pandemic, so we have to stay home. And nobody really knows anything about this illness. And I was so, so sad for Justina. I realized that she must be extremely alone in this. I felt such a wash of empathy. So jump ahead, and yes, we went to emergency and the hospital. Only had a skeleton staff. So they wanted us to go to a different city. There were some other signs of a stroke, like balance and coordination problems, but the high ASA dose they were concerned about as a cause. The memories all came back, little packages to open. I would see them, experience the feelings like a wash going over me, and then the feelings were gone. Many came within a few days, and some have still been trickling in months later. One of the biggest things I'm grateful for that experience or gift, was knowing the heart pain is real, terrible, and the grief and loneliness have merit. I know it is not anxiety or gastric reflux or any of the myriad of things that doctors have suggested. It was definitely my heart. I was aware of the fluctuations in beat and sound of it. So this last phase I am in, I guess, is not just acceptance of my condition, but acceptance of myself. Trust in myself. Trust that things are going to work in some form. I am still curious and trying different things. Fasting, neurostimulation, infrared pulse. You will note there is less reliance on doctors because I realize they don't know and I don't fault them anymore for that. Time will tell. I am becoming confident in what I do know to help pain and move and be a part of my family chores and do some things on my own instead of needing help. I'm having some periods of no pain, so I have not given up hope, but I use my walker more often. I pace myself. The rage and fear are going away, and it is making room for some gratitude and peace. I know, corny, and I will eat my words when I try and do something that I expect to be able to do and can't, or if something gets worse. But I still feel I am in a different phase, and it is easier.
So to that, there were some responses. I mean, that's a year with myocarditis. I mean, this is no small thing. I mean, it's pain. It's being unable to function physically. But the pain, it's a big deal. So there were some replies to that. Someone says, it's a sad story, although it has its wisdom and beauty. I wish it was a happy ending, but no, not yet. Not right now. I find myself here completely, and sometimes I am afraid that resignation, long temperance, renewal of hopes, is only an honorable way to accept defeat. I still don't want to believe that this disease will bring us to our knees. And the first author says, I'm hoping that too. Not defeat. But it's hard to move forward when you are always fighting, always anxious, and always angry. Not defeat. Acceptance and then maybe being able to look forward and not just back and seeing something beautiful. I don't want to miss living because I am afraid of losing my life. And another one says, what a beautiful and poetic rumination on life. I'm so sorry you suffer and have suffered. And I hope the hardship and pain continues to decrease and the gifts keep returning to you. And another one says, how inspiring you are. Beautifully written and freeing. My injury was not the heart, but eyesight. Reading your post came at a time when I really needed it. I'm so tired of being anxious and out of life. Thank you.
And it finishes off with, hi, Justina. Do you have any tips for when the pain gets to be unbearable and you're just trying to make it to the next hour? I'm on month 12, and after countless cardiologists, all I have is, what is it?
Colchicine.
And NSAIDs, which are a bit ineffective. I failed prednisone treatment, unfortunately. How do you fail prednisone treatment? I guess that means it just didn't work. But prednisone is a pretty tough hombre. Okay. This original writer writes back, ice pack on your chest, Tylenol, a cold smoothie, stay quiet and distract. I am a fan of audiobooks. Hot pack near the neck, if that feels better, or hot shower, bath. Trying to relax. Belly breathing. Practice big belly breath and in for a count if four, hold for four, breathe out for four. And another addition from her, Nick, you are not alone. Do less and rest. Try to do what allows you to have no pain and celebrate that. For me, mornings are best. I try to only do one thing a day, and then if I can, I will do more in small amounts with breaks. I treat it all like chronic fatigue and then build up. It feels good to not have pain. As for exercise, stretching. Sometimes balance, tai chi, yoga. I'm limited for what I can do, but it makes a difference. Experiment, but know that the pain can start 10 minutes or half an hour after stopping. So this is a vicious, horrible thing to gift any human, and I'm using the term very loosely, to lay on anybody. These lives are ruined. These people are barely functional. And that's part of the reason you don't see so many cars out on the road now. There are sick people all over this country, all over the world, who don't feel well enough to get out and function like they used to. They can't do it.
Yeah, this is not something that's going away. I mean, these are people that have had this now for a year. And, you know, as the story suggests, it's you've got to learn to live with it, manage it.
All right, let's jump up to the, I don't know if you have the same order I do. Do you have the tachycardia one? Blood clots?
Yep.
Okay, go ahead with tachycardia.
Okay, hi. So after the vaccine, I started getting palpitations and rapid heartbeat. I've never had that before. After several Holters and two stress echoes, I know I suffer from a variety of heartbeat issues, including SVT, PSVT, and tachycardia. I have to have surgery and ablation to correct this. I've never had palpitations or heart issues before. After each dose, episodes became worse. Anyone else? I'm too young to be having an ablation. And the one reply, yep, there are lots of you, several of my cousins and friends.
All right, here's one on blood clots. Now, we don't know if these are blood clots or AMI clots, amyloidosis clots. My sister was flown to a hospital yesterday with an aneurysm, Russian surgery, as of last night, not responding, told me there were many, many clots and put on lots of blood thinners. She is a triple jab, very concerned. This is the result of the jab. She just turned 66, praying no one else has a loved one going through this, as I know blood clots are adverse reactions. Is this one in the brain also with blood clots? And someone responds to that. My sister's husband was like he was bitten by a rattlesnake. Blood clots in every part of his body. AstraZeneca shot killed him within hours. Average age, 90s. He was 58. His dad died after AstraZeneca shot 2 days later. I'm on heavy blood thinners and needed quadruple bypass surgery and now have clots in both legs and lost a quarter of my right lung. I had 3 Pfizer shots. Not saying for certain if it was a shot, but my health is dramatically failing quickly. If I had it to do over again, I would say no. See, they just won't go there willingly or easily. Not saying for certain it was a shot, but my health is dramatically failing. It's just a coincidence. Don't worry. It's crazy. It's these people just will not look at the truth.
No.
All right, let's jump in here. Chest pain. Go ahead.
Okay, someone says, is sharp stabbing pain related to myocarditis? I have this type of pain today. I wonder because I have no pain of this type before. And first response is, yes, I get this really sharp pain in my chest every week. I have both myocarditis and pericarditis. I have been living with this chest pain for the last 10 months since the vaccine, but it has decreased with medications. But this sharp pain comes and goes with a few minutes of duration. Someone else answers, yes, where is pain? Upper and lower ribs.
All right, another add-on to that. Somebody's name is a strange name, I'll forget that. Usually it's across my chest in the lower part. And then again, what was your other symptoms? Exactly the same for me, honey. And she says, the original poster, initially, high heart rate, palpitations, chest pain, S-O-B when talking.
Shortness of breath.
3 months later, I start to develop high blood pressure, lightheaded brain fog, and the last few months, head pressure, hypothyroidism, never ends. And a response to that, very much the same for me. And then someone says, it could be costochondritis. No, I would say, I'm speaking now me. No, it is not costochondritis. There you go. So, just a glimpse at the human suffering, the enormity of it. And this is not even a visible portion of it. This is one little collection of a few stories. That's why there's fewer cars on the road. That's why there are fewer people out and about. There are sick people everywhere who are now housebound or virtually housebound. And we were right about that. We started noticing the traffic diminution months and months ago. And this is why.
Yep.
And this also leads to accidents. You know, sure, you can't drive a car when you're like this. And a lot of people will still try.
I don't know how they can casualize this myocarditis. It's crippling.
And what is it, 50% of the people who get it have less than 5 years or something like that? That's the alleged official stats on it.
It's at some point that they will need a heart transplant or they go into heart failure and that's the end.
Well, don't forget, you can't have a heart transplant unless you've been fully vaxxed.
Right. How many will it be that time, you know? 7, 8?
No joke. That's what they're telling people. Okay, my friend, thank you. I'll talk soon. Be well.
Okay, Jeff, my pleasure. Have a good evening. Good night, everyone.
We'll be back with you tomorrow night. Take care and beware. No more needles. Talk soon. Thanks.